Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. It was about a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone, saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then he opened my mouth and spoke and said, I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me. I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man, greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. And as for me, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. Let's pray. God, help me as I speak. Give us ears to hear your word, soft hearts that it would implant, that we would be changed more into the image of your Son. We love you. We are thankful for your word, that we have it to read, we have it to study. Would you bless this time? In your name we pray. Amen. So in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel gets a dream. Another dream, vision is revealed to him. And he understands the word and has understanding of the vision. But then verse 2 says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. And he goes into a fast. He doesn't eat meat or wine. He doesn't anoint himself with the oils that would have been common for skin hydration and moisturizing in those days. He doesn't do any of that stuff. Okay, he backs away from these comforts in mourning. Why is Daniel mourning? Why is he fasting? Why is he praying? This right here, the third year of Cyrus, is supposed to be an exciting time for the children of Israel. This is supposed to be an awesome year. This is the end of the 70 years. The first wave of the children of Israel is returning back to the land that they were taken captive from 70 years before. 70 years. That's a long time. That's a long time of discipline for their rebellion against God. 70 years to recognize their error, to recognize why they are there in the first place, and to turn their hearts back to their God. 70 years is up, and now they have the opportunity to return back to the land. This is supposed to be an exciting time. What are they going to do when they return back to the land? What are we going to do when we get back? Everything was destroyed. We are going to get back and we are going to rebuild, starting with the temple of our God that was destroyed. Starting with the temple. This is an exciting time, should be an exciting time. But undoubtedly, there are people of Israel who had gotten comfortable living in the faraway land. The discipline, they got comfortable living in it. You know, what's the big deal? Why do we need to go back? It's okay here. We've got everything we need right now. Why would we leave here and go back? Some people are excited to return. They return, they get there, they begin building the temple. And for a brief moment, there's excitement. But then the people that had begun living in the land over that 70 years who are there, they start to take notice. What's going on over here? What's being built over here? Hey. And they begin to oppose the building of the temple. And the children of Israel start to go, wait a second. You know, at first we thought this was a good idea to rebuild the temple, but actually what we really need protection from all of these people. We really need to build up the walls of our city so that we don't get attacked. Forgetting who had told them, I will protect you. I will defend you. I will fight your battles for you. Fresh out of captivity, and already they're saying, wait a second, you know, God's good, but I don't know if he's enough. We've got to turn to these other things for protection. It's sad. Daniel, undoubtedly, he's back in Babylon. He's approaching 90 years old. Some people ask, why is he still there? Why didn't he go? I would guess it probably has to do with his age and because of the fact of where he is and the position that he is in. He's there still, and he gets word of the children of Israel not turning to God, already turning away from him to other things. Parents who have children can relate to this scene. Disciplining a child who is crying and blinded by their tears, but some children are different than others. And instead of in the discipline and in the grief, recognizing their wrong, instead they become more angry and embittered. Instead of turning to you as a parent as you stand there and say, hey, it's all right. I'm right here. Turn to me. The children of Israel, in the middle of their discipline, blinded, crying, frustrated, they turn and they run. And man, as a parent, as you're standing there watching your kid run from you, they can't see anything, and this has happened. Your kid runs into the wall and hurts themselves again. They bounce their head off the corner of a table. It's a sad, heartbreaking scene. You want them to turn to you. You have everything that they need right there. You will pick them up. You will carry them. You love them. And they run. It's heartbreaking. And Daniel is heartbroken. He's mourning for 3 weeks. Verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that's the Tigris, there was a place there where people would gather to pray. This is what he's doing on the bank of the Tigris River, praying. Verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist, his body like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, he's standing there, he sees this, all the men that are around. They're trembling. They don't see it. They all run. And Daniel's left standing there on the banks of the river looking at this heavenly being. This heavenly messenger appears. And Daniel's response, his radiant appearance, his joyful appearance, his typical face is changed to fear. He retains no strength. And verse 9 says, I heard the sound of his words. When this being speaks, Daniel, what does he do? He falls on his face in deep sleep with his face to the ground. Whew. I feel for Daniel here. It seems like these last several chapters, just over and over again, you've got Daniel having a vision. Something happened, and Daniel's just like, whew. Falls on his face. What is this? Does it feel good to fall on your face? You typically fall on your face? No. He loses control of himself and is out. Cold. Bam. On his face. You say, well, that's kind of an overreaction, Daniel. Like, can't you hold yourself together there? We don't understand what this was like. We don't. This is crazier and more awesome, scary than anything you and I can imagine. This is more mind-blowing than any computer-generated image in a superhero movie you see today. This is Daniel standing on the banks of the river praying, and boom, here is the power and the glory of heaven in this angelic being right there in front of him, and he cannot handle it. His human body passes out. He falls flat on his face. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He's lifted up, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. Where's Daniel at this point? He's hurting. He gets the news of the people who he has served and tried to guide back to God for 70 long years. He gets the news that still they are running from their God. He's broken. It's tempting to feel abandoned by those people. It would be tempting to even wonder if God was still there. Is he actually working? Does he see what's going on here? The first words from this angelic being's mouth is, Daniel, you are greatly loved. You are loved. When we, human beings, are hurt, are sinned against, somebody wrongs us, a child, a close friend, a spouse, When we are hurt, we're looking for something, some source of hope. We're wanting somebody to love us. We need to be told, you are loved. God loves Daniel. God is Daniel's greatest cheerleader. God is in Daniel's corner. He is cheering him on. He's excited about Daniel. We just listened to the song sung, talking about God's love and how it doesn't change. It's the same. That's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. We mess up. We fail. People fail us. God doesn't. And when he says he loves us, he does. You are greatly loved, Daniel. What an encouragement. It's a dumb illustration. But you remember in middle school, standing around talking with your friends, and you know, there's that person of the opposite sex that you're like, they're way out of my league. I don't deserve them. No way. There is no possible way that could happen. And then somebody says, hey, I heard that they like you. What? Me? They like me? What? How? Oh my goodness. I need to sit down. I've got to. If we knew how much God loved us, if we really knew how God felt about us, we need to sit down. What an encouragement. We are loved by the Creator God of the universe. We're not forgotten. We're not alone. He loves us. He's cheering for us. Verse 11, and he said to me, oh, Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak. Listen to me, stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not. When we know who we are loved by, we have no cause for fear. If God is for us, who can be against us? Fear not. Anxiety, depression, all of those things flee when we understand who we are loved by. There's no cause for fear. 12, Daniel, fear not, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the king of Persia. Daniel, don't fear. From the first day that you set your mind to understanding the word of God, when your faith came and you began to pray, those prayers didn't bounce off of the drywall or the plaster or whatever he had over top of him. Those prayers went to heaven and were heard in the spiritual realms. And this heavenly being is there as a result of Daniel's prayers. He prayed for 3 weeks. 3 long weeks. How many of us would still be praying after 21 days of, man, is God listening? Does he hear this? This heavenly being here says, from the first day, your prayers were heard. Now, why didn't he hear an answer right away? Well, the king of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood him for 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help. For I was left there with the kings of Persia. Some people, some commentaries you read, just I had several in my office that I read that were conflicting. Some said that this being here is actually a theophany, a pre-incarnate or a pre-flesh appearance of Jesus. Some say that that's who this is. I would tend to go towards those who say that this may be one of the cherubim, but my greatest reasoning for this would be this, that if this is Jesus, the Son of God, one of the three persons of the Trinity, the three-in-one God, all-powerful. I find it hard to believe that the prince of Persia is going to stand in his way. That's not happening. It's not. God, all-powerful. You stack all the forces of hell. It's no fight. It's no match. Here we have probably an angelic being, powerful still, but fighting against a powerful force of Satan in the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Verse 14, and came, okay, after the battle that Michael helped out in, then this heavenly messenger comes. Why did he come? Came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. Why is Daniel mute here? Why this response at this moment? I think it has to do with this. Turn over to chapter 12, and we're not going to talk a lot about it, but chapter 12, verse 1, what he sees in this vision, he understands, but this angel being is there to help clarify. What Daniel sees, this vision close out with is this. At that time, verse 1 of chapter 12, at that time shall arise Michael. Michael was given charge over God's chosen people. He's the guardian angel, if you want to say it that way, fighting specifically over God's covenant people, Israel. So Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, Daniel, your people, there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. How awesome and exciting. Daniel sees this is how it's going to end. This is it. The covenant people that you have been fighting for and praying for and living in front of, God's covenant people will be delivered. This is the day here that we look forward to. Daniel is longing for this day. He cannot wait for this day. Since his youth, he's been taught about this, and he gets to see what it's going to look like in a vision. How excited he must have been. But back to 10, that heavenly being says, I've come to help you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. Not now, Daniel. It's not happening now, for days yet to come. What a blow. He's mute. He's discouraged. When he had spoken these words to me, verse 15, I turned my face to the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, oh, my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come over me. I retain no strength. How can I talk with my Lord's servant? For no strength remains in me. No breath is left in me. He's telling this heavenly being, look, man, you can talk. I'm about to pass out over here. There's a little humor here. You can laugh at this, okay? Daniel is a human being. And he's getting visions. He's seeing all of these things. He can't handle it. He sees the angelic being. He knows what's going to happen in the future. This stuff terrifies him. He doesn't know. He's in pain. It hurts him physically. Have you ever tried to have somebody talking to you while you're in pain? And you're like, hey, you talk. I can't hear a word you're saying right now. This hurts. That's what he's telling this heavenly being. I'm so weak. And the heavenly being, again, verse 18, one having the appearance of a man touched me, touches him again, and strengthened me. And he said, oh man, greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Don't tremble. You're loved. Fear not. Be strong. Be courageous. face these terrible things that you're seeing, these awesome things that you're seeing, with courage and power. And as he spake to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. So Daniel now says, okay, thank you. I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to listen. Speak to me now. Verse 20, then he said, this is the angelic being speaking here. Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. First, before I leave to go continue fighting, first I'm going to tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael, your prince. And as for me, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. So this angelic being is trying to paint the scene for Daniel of what's going on. There is a battle raging that he was involved in before coming to Daniel. Okay, he was involved all the way up until now. He's standing there taking a break, talking to Daniel. And the only one that is currently fighting is Michael. Michael is fighting. He's standing here talking. But when he's done sharing this truth with Daniel, he is going to return back into the battle. And chapter 11, verse 1, you say, wait, why did we get into chapter 11? I said the same thing, but there's a good explanation for it, okay? 11, verse 1 actually is still the angelic being talking. It's still him speaking. And so most people say that the chapter and verse divisions here are a mistake, and they should have actually kept 11 verse 1 as the final verse of chapter 10. So to help with that, many of your Bibles, as you look at them, you'll see a paragraph ending after verse 1 of chapter 11. That's just to help you kind of combine those, because it can be confusing. You can think, wait, is Daniel talking now? Is it this guy, this heavenly being, still talking? It's a little confusing. But what's he saying here? He's trying to get Daniel to see this battle that's going on. It's waging. It has been waging, and it will continue to be fought. And this little reference to Darius would have been just a little encouragement for Daniel. What happened in the first year of Darius the Mede? What happened in the first year of Darius the Mede? Any bells ringing of maybe a guy named Daniel who was caught in a trap? He prayed when he wasn't supposed to. Darius the Mede realizes, wait a second, I've messed up, but I've got to throw him in prison, or I've got to throw him in the lion's den because it's already been signed. And Daniel's faith, he's delivered from the lion's den, and that story ends with Darius, a pagan king, praising the one true God, saying, everybody worship Daniel's God. He's the one who reigns. He is the one who delivers. That didn't happen by accident. No. This was a battle that was being fought in the spiritual realm. And Daniel was living his life out here on earth. And there was a fight going on in the heavens over these people that Daniel was around. Darius. What's this battle being fought over then? What's this battle still being fought over today? In short, the souls of men. The souls of men. We rebelled against our Creator God. And when we did that, we joined the forces of Satan. We are dead in our sins. It is disgusting and ugly rebellion against God. But God loves mankind so much that he sent his Son to die for us, to buy us back. That message needs to be spread. And the evil forces do not want that. They are fighting tooth and nail to keep the message of Jesus from going forward, to keep people from faith in the one true God. It's being fought today. And Daniel engages in the battle. It'd be tempting, after all that Daniel sees, he knows what's going to happen. He goes, okay, I've got faith in God. It would be tempting then to hunker in his bunker with his radio and his ramen. They came to me in my office, all right? Everybody knows what we're talking about here. I know what's going to happen. I've got my eternal security box checked. Now, let's hide away. Let the world go to hell in a handbasket. That's not faith. That's not the faith God gives. Or a faith that allows you to live no differently than the world around you. A useless faith. I'd say it may not even be a faith at all. Daniel, no, he lives not for himself and his own lustful desires. He sees the greatest purpose of his life is to let his light shine before men, that others see his good works and glorify his God in heaven. Criswell, a commentator, he said this, "So famous was this prophet statesman that even in his lifetime, his name became a legend. Three times does Ezekiel name him, and Ezekiel is Daniel's contemporary. He lived at the same time that Daniel did. Ezekiel names Daniel with Noah and with Job. Daniel became a legend of devotion, godliness, and wisdom, even in the contemporary age in which he lived. Daniel was noble, mighty, and famous. Yet in all his demeanor, in personal appearance, in gesture, in life, in word, in deed, always there is that air about him of deepest humility and obedience before God." This should be our desire. To live a remarkable, legendary life of faith now. Among the world and the contemporaries that you are with. That our lives are such a display of God that others recognize their error. They recognize that what they are searching for is what God offers. And he's waiting for them to turn to him. Things are crazy right now. They are. They're crazy. They're terrifying. Apart from God, there is no hope. Things are getting worse and worse. I read a New York Times article this week, not a Christian publication, but they were just evaluating the trend of anxiety and depression in America and trying to say, this is what their conclusion was. They said, man, the pandemic has come and gone and the anxiety levels are still up for young people. Why? Said older people have been able to come down. Their studies have shown there's been a coming down. But they say why for older people is only because they are better at coping and remembering the good things and forgetting some of the bad things. That's what they say. But this is the conclusion that this author wrote. She said, if their stress, young people, was driven by economic and political uncertainty rather than fear of illness, then there is no reason to expect it to recede. That's depressing. She's exactly right. There's no reason to expect the stress and anxiety levels to recede with all of the uncertainty in our country. We watch storms hit, plagues of sickness hit, wars raging. It is terrifying. What is going to happen? Everyone is asking that question. And we know how it will end. Our God, our Father, has all of this under his control. We need to be reminded by the word daily that we are loved by God. With faith in him, we have nothing to fear. Sharply contrasted with the world in terror around us, we can be strong, courageous as we daily depend on his grace and mercy to help us endure until he returns. And we are with him, delivered forever. We look forward to that day. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Daniel and the encouragement of his faith. It's a challenge to us. The times that we falter and we fail and we stop believing, we stop trusting. In those moments, our lives of faith are useless in the world around us. Would you help us to keep the faith so that our lives can display you and that others would turn to you and glorify you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.